Shmuley ben Mordechai Yosef, Avram Chana ben Yaakov Zev, Rachel bas Yud Alexander, Shendel bas David, Yisrael ben Avram Yitzchak, Yehudit Bracha bas Hirschvul Falevi, Pinin the Parah bas Salman, Malka bas Avram Chaim, Leah bas Prime, and Yamin ben Moshe Cohen, and Bracha bas Eliyahu Cohen. We begin. Top line, Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav. Rav Kahana says in the name of Rav. Cheresh, a deaf mute, sheyochol ledaber mitoch haksav, who is nonetheless able to communicate through writing. Kosin v'nosin get le'ishto. He is allowed to give us that written instruction, and we can then write and give a get on his behalf to his wife. Rashi explains here, even if he had been healthy when he married this woman, and the Kedushin was a Kedushin d'oraisa, full-fledged Kedushin, and only subsequently he became a Cheresh, Rav is saying that if he still retains the ability to communicate through writing, that's sufficient means of allowing him to instruct us to write and deliver a get on his behalf. Rav Yosef, asks, my kamash milan, what's the chiddush of Rav? Tanina, we learned it in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, nishtatek, if he became mute, the umbrella, they asked him, nichtov get leishtacha, should he write a get for your wife? The hirchen barosho, and he nods his head, bot genoso shloshapamim. So we test him three times, which Tosus on Amud Beis, previous Amud Beis, had said three times means three times on a no question and three times on a yes question. But you assess his understanding. Im Amar al lav lav v'al hein hein, if he responds correctly, a no to the no questions, a yes to the yes questions, hare elu yichdilu v'yitnu. So you are then allowed to give the get on his behalf. So what is Rav adding to this statement in the Mishnah? Amalei Bzeres, Bzeres says to Rav Yosef, Ilem Ka'amrat, you're asking a question from the fact the Mishnah speaks of an Ilem giving written instructions to give a get? Shaina Ilem. Ilem is very different. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Medaber Ve'eno Shemea Zehu Chayesh. If somebody speaks but does not hear, he's called a Chayesh. Shomei ve'ena medaber zeu ilaim. If someone hears but does not speak, he's called an ilaim. V'zeh v'zeh harehein kepikchen l'chol devrem. Each one is a full-fledged bar das. So the fact that the Mishnah says that an ilaim can communicate through writing to give a get to his wife is no chiddush because he's a bar das. What Rav is adding, what Rav is being mechadesh, is that even someone who's a deaf mute, who ordinarily is classified as someone who doesn't have das at all, he's like a shota. Rav's chiddush is that even so, if you have someone who once upon a time was healthy and then becomes deaf-mute, but he still retains the ability to communicate properly through writing, that shows that he's not a shota. That's the chiddush of Rav. The fact that Mishnah says that an elam who is only mute can communicate through writing, that's not a chiddush because he's a bardas. The chiddush of Rav is that even someone who is deaf and mute, and ordinarily therefore is assumed to be like a shota, has no das. But if this fellow who had previously been healthy still retains the ability to communicate through writing, that shows that he is, in fact, yes, still a bar das. And that's the chiddush of Rav, that he's still allowed to communicate with us, to instruct us to give a get to his wife.
Elam is a mute.
Yes, correct.
Isn't Elam also a lame person?
No, that's, what is that? No. Someone who is unable to walk is not Elam. Elam is dafka, unable to speak. Oh.
Some sort of word similar to, I don't remember.
A lame person, one who's unable to walk, is not an Elam.
Right.
That's Elam is dafka mute. Okay. Okay. Chiger is the term for lame. Chiger. Okay, the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara now just asks, what's the source in the psukim to say that one who can speak but not hear is a cheresh, one who can hear but not speak is an ilaim? Because the pasuk says, "Vani kecheresh lo eshma ukeilaim lo yiftach piv." David Melachim Tehillim says, "I am like a cheresh, I do not hear. I am like an ilaim, I do not speak." or the pshat is, it's the way people express themselves. Ishtakil milule. When they speak of someone who's mute, they say his words have been taken from him. Ishtakil milule. That ishtakil milule, when contracted together, gives us ilein. Fine. Moving on. Amr Abzera. Abzera says, Ikashali, if I have a question on Rav Kahana, Amar Rav's Chiddush, Hakasha, this is my question. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Im lo yagid, when the Pasuk speaks of one who is called upon to offer Eidus in Beis Din, and he swears and denies having any Eidus to share, and it turns out he was lying, he's chayav to bring a karban because he swore falsely regarding his knowledge of Eidus, or lack thereof. The Braisa dashens, the Pasuk speaks of Im lo yagid, if he doesn't tell his testimony. Prat le'ilem she'eno yachol lahagid. That excludes one who is mute, who never has the ability to tell testimony, that he is not subject to this isser of Shavuos Eidus. So the Gemara asks, Rav Zera asks on Rav Kahana Marav, well, according to you, Rav Kahana Marav, Amai, why is an Elaim excluded from the din of Shavuos Eidus? He is able to give Eidus, just communicate through writing according to your interpretation of the din. So he should be chayv in Shavuos Eidus if he swears falsely. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye answers Reb Zera, Eidus ka'amrat, you're bringing a raya from Eidus where we seem to reject his ability to communicate through writing. That's not a kash on Rav who is speaking about instructing the giving of a get. Shiny Eidus, Rachman Amar mipihem velo mipiksava. By Eidus, it's a special gezeres hakasuv that Eidus must be communicated verbally. You can't communicate Eidus in writing. That's why an Elaim is not bechalal the din of Shavuos Eidus. He's not bechalal the din of Imlo Yagid. Because by Eidus Dafka, you can't give Eidus in writing. Hashem Kain, in Rav's case, which is the discussion of the instructions to give a get, there you could communicate through writing. Now Rashi points out what is the basic question the Rishonim have to contend with here, which is the following. If the Gemara is telling us that on Daraisa level, you're not allowed to have Eidus in writing, you can only give Eidus verbally, then how does Shtar work? Shtar Hava, Shtar Raya, isn't that Eidus that a Hava took place? And that's all in writing. So Rashi is Mechalik based on the fact that a Shtar is the norm. It's Orche Lahachi. A written Shtar is the normal way of giving Eidus that a transaction took place. So when it's Orche Bahachi, that's acceptable as Eidus Muksav. But a person who gives testimony, his norm is to speak it. So if his norm is to speak it, we don't accept from a person Eidus Muksav. That's how Rashi explains the difference here. Okay, moving on. Meisig masks akasha. We learn as follows. Kshem shebokin oso legitin, kach bokin oso lamasos lamatanos. Just like you test someone's communication ability with regard to instructing you to write a get, so too you test his communication ability with regard to commerce. In other words, he instructs you to sell a property of his. That's maso matan. So you assess his his nonverbal communication to see if he really is communicating clearly. Ula edios, you also assess his nonverbal communication with regard to testimony. Ula yerushos, and with regard to inheritance. That's the braisa. So asks the Gemara, ksanimias edios. You see it from the braisa that when someone is unable to communicate verbally, he communicates nonverbally. We test his nonverbal communication to ensure that we are confident in his presence of mind, such that he should be able to communicate with regard to Eidus. Isn't that proof that with regard to Eidus, you do allow written communication? Answers the Gemara, Am Rav Yosef, Bar Manyume, Am Rav Sheshes, Be'edus Isha de Akilu Barabanan. This brisa, which seems to allow written forms of communication for Eidus, is talking about Eidus to allow a woman to remarry by declaring that her husband died. That we allow numerous kulas for. We allow an edechad, we allow a karov, we allow a shivcha. So to here, we'll allow edus miksav, dafka for edus isha. Gemara asks, Vaksani Yerushos. But we learned in the Braisa that even with regard to Yerusha, we allow Edus Piksav, which implies Edus that impacts Yerusha, even though it's not Edus Isha. Am Rabbi Avo, Yerusha Espino HaBachor. What the Braisa means is we allow written communication with regard to Yerusha Espino HaBachor. What does that mean? Rashi says that means if you want to deprive your oldest firstborn son of double portion, you can do so through writing. Tosa says it means if you want to identify a certain son as your firstborn to give him the rights of a bechor, you could do so through writing. So it's not Eidus testimony based in, it's written directives that the father is giving with regard to the status of his son, the bechor. Gemara asks, Ksani Mios, Lamasos, Lamatanos, but the Braisa also speaks of written communication as acceptable to Gabi commerce. My Lav La'alma, isn't that with regard to Eidus regarding commerce that we accept written communications? And says Gemara, Lo, Ludide. No, it means written instructions with regard to the purchasing and selling of his own properties, but not with regard to Eidus. Next, the Gemara says, Mesa Gona Kasha. Linda as follows. Cheresh lo hochebo achar remizosav v'achar kefitzosav v'achar ksav yado. When it comes to a cheresh, we don't follow his nonverbal motions or written communications, ela b'metaltlin, except as it impacts the metaltlin of the individual. But we do not take into consideration his written nonverbal communication with regard to get. So isn't this a befer sharia against Rafunam, against Rav Kana Rav? Rav Kana said, Shem Rav, that a cheresh can communicate through writing. You do accept that as a tzivoy to give a get to his wife. Here the Bryce says beferish, that no, with regard to get, we don't accept written communication. The Gemara answer is Tanahi. It's a machlokas Tanaim. In this Shaila, when it comes to a Cheresh, who had previously been healthy and had a Kedushin Daraisa, whether you now accept written communication with regard to the Shaila of giving a get to his wife. Chokas tonight, how do we see this? Time the Braisa says, Omer Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the med dvar memurim. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, when do we not follow written communication of a Cheresh? That's only b'cheresh meikaro. If he was always a Cheresh, we don't follow his written communication. Because he never, ever, ever had written communication while he was a Baradas. However, if he had been healthy once before, had Das, and then became a Cheresh, but still retains the ability to communicate clearly through Ksav, then Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, like Rav said, who kosev behein chosmin, then we do allow for the written instructions to give a get. So we're saying out some machlokas tanoim. Rav holds the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel that someone who had been a Bardas and is now a Cheresh but retains the ability to communicate through writing clearly could give instructions to divorce his wife. Whereas the Chachamim seem to say no. Chachamim say you cannot, if you're a Cheresh currently, give written communication to divorce your wife, regardless of what you once were capable of doing, regardless of whether you can still retain the ability to communicate through writing. Okay. So the Gemara asks, v'cheresh meikaro lo, according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, if someone had been a cheresh all along, and according to Chum that is, we don't allow him to communicate through writing to divorce his wife? But why should that be? K'sheim shekon sibra miza, kach motzi miza. If he had been a cheresh all along, that means that his original kedushin was done through written communication, was done through motions and nonverbal signage. So if that's the case, the whole kedushin is drabbanan to begin with. So then, why can't the get to work under such circumstances as well? That's the Gemara Ivesh Dochanami. You're right. If someone was a cheresh all along and married his wife through remiza, he can divorce his wife through remiza. Hachab Ma'askin, what is it over here that we're saying you cannot do with written communication? Be a vimto. That means if he's a cheresh me'ikara and now he's subject to yibum, he can't divorce his Yavama wife through written communication. So again, we're saying now that everyone agrees if he was a cheresh for life and his original kedushin was done through nonverbal communication, well, then the get could also be done through nonverbal communication. But if he was a cherish for life and he's now subject to yibum, then since the yibum could be a deraisa dikadin, he does not have the ability to divorce his yevama through written communication.
So is there a way he can do? He can do it in any which way.
If he now has kedushin deraisa as a result of yibum, as a result of a zika deraisa, mm-hmm. he can't undo it with remiza. If he was a cherish from birth.
Chalitza, he can't do either. Can he do chalitza?
He's not a bradas, he cannot.
Because of baldas, not that he can't physically do, okay.
Right.
Right.
So, the Gemara now asks, one second. Yevim to Miman. Well, where did this Yevama come from? If his brother who died had been a cherish as well, well then the same logic should apply. Same way the brother married his wife with nonverbal communication. So then the current brother who's also a cherish should have the ability to divorce her through nonverbal communication. Ella, rather, when do we say that a cherish meikara cannot divorce his wife who's a yavama? The case is the brother who died had been a pikeach. His condition was doraisa. The Mela now that he died, the Zika deraisa creates a marriage that is also deraisa, and therefore the current Yavam, who is a Cherish, may not divorce through written communication. The by same way can answer as follows. La'olam denafle me'ochev Cherish. Maybe when we speak of this Cherish Yavam not being allowed to divorce his Yavama, it means even if the original brother who died was also a Cherish, still, the current Yavam brother cannot divorce through written communication. Why? Ugzeiras achiv cherish atu achiv pikeach. It's a gzeira. We're afraid that if we allow a Yavam was a cherish to divorce a Yavam through writing, when the deceased brother was also a cherish, you might come to allow the Yavam who was a cherish to divorce the Yavam in writing when the deceased brother was a pikeach. Correct the Gemara. That's pshat ishto nami. If that's pshat, then a cherish with his own wife, even though he married her with remiza, he should not be allowed to divorce her beremiza because he might come to divorce a yavama beremiza when she had been married on a deraisa level to her first husband. And says the Gemara, that we don't do. Yivimta, yivimta mechlefa. We're worried that if you allow a yavam cherish to divorce a yavama who had been married to a cherish brother, we're afraid you might come to allow a yavam cherish to divorce a yavama who had been married to her original husband, bin deraisa. But ishto bivim to lo mechafa. But if we allow a cheresh to divorce his own wife, beremiza, when he married her, beremiza, we're not afraid he's going to come to divorce his yavama, beremiza, when she had been initially married to her original husband, midaraisa. Last line, the Gemara asks, Omigas rinon, cheresh atu bekeach. Is it true that when you have a cheresh who is married to a Yavama, we don't allow him to divorce her Bermiza, even if her original marriage was Bermiza, because we're afraid that he might divorce his Yavama Bermiza when her original marriage was a condition deraisa, right? After all, on the base, but now the Mishnah says. So we're looking to prove now that we are not gozer a Yavam Cheresh with a Yavama who had been married to a cheresh, we're not gozer atu a yavam cheresh with a yavama who had been married to a pekeach. Why? Because the Mishnah says, shnei achin chereshin. You have two brothers who are cheresh. Nisun shtei achios, married to two sisters, and those two sisters are either pikchos, they themselves are healthy, or shtei achios chereshos, or they're both themselves cheresh, or shtei achios, or two sisters achas pikachas, achas chereshos, one's pekeach, one's a cheresh. In all these cases, the two brothers were both cherish from birth, they both were mekadesh beremiza. The chen shtei achios cherishos, or two sisters who are both cherish. Nesuos l'shnei achen pikchen, they're married to two brothers who are both healthy. Or l'shnei achen chareshin, or they're both cherish. Or l'shnei achen, or they're married to two brothers, achad pikeach, achad cherish, one's healthy, one's not. In all these cases, have elu pturos ben chalitza or ben yivam. In all these cases, there is no chiyuv of chalitza, nor is there a chiyuv of Yibam. And that's because you can't be married to your wife's sister. So there's no such din of Yibam Chalitza here when you have two brothers married to two sisters.
Well, that's kind of obvious, no?
Yeah. So the Gemara says, the mission then adds, Vim Hayun Achayos, but if it's two wives were not sisters, then Yichnasu, then you could do Yibum. Vim Ratsu Lotsi and Yotsu, if you want to divorce them, you can divorce them. So that's the question here, because now you see from this Mishnah, that when you have two brothers who are Charetian, married to two women who are not related to one another, one of the brothers dies, so then you can't do Chalitza, says the Mishnah. You can't do Chalitza because the brother's a Charetian. A Yavam was Cherish, has no das, he can't do Chalitza. So he has to do Yibum. But once he does Yibum, then he can divorce her. Why? Because since both brothers were Chareshim, the original Kedushin of the Yavam was Kedushin Cherish. Mm-hmm. It was through written communication, through Ramiza. So for now also, this current husband, Yavam, who is Cherish, can divorce the same way, through written communication. That's the question. What do you see from here? You see from here that when you have two brothers who are Cherish, and then one dies and the other one does Yibum, we allow the one who did Yibum to divorce the Yavama through written communication because that's how her original condition was done. Right. We're not goes there, oh no, but that might lead to a scenario whereby the original condition was done with a healthy brother and now she's married to a Cherish and he can't divorce her Burmese. And we're not goes there. You see that we're not goes there, Yavam, by Yavam, we see we're not goes there by Yibum, Cherish Atubekeach. That's the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara says, you're right. El Machbarta, Kedishanan Meikar. You're right. The correct pshat, therefore, is, like we answered initially, that the only time we do not allow a Yavam Cherish to divorce his wife, his Yavama wife, Beramiza, is when her original Kedushin to her first husband was done Midaraisa with a healthy husband. Okay. Amar Rav Papa. I'm sorry, thank you. Amar Rav Yochanan. Yochanan says, "Chalukim alav chaver al Rav Shimon ben Gamliel." Rav Yochanan says the Chachamim argue on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said that when you have a Cheresh who initially had been a Pikeach and he can still communicate through Ksav, he's allowed to give a tziva to divorce his wife. The Chum argue, Chum say no. If Lamaisa right now is a Cherish, it doesn't matter that he could communicate through Ksav, he can't give a tzivu to divorce his wife. Omar Abayabai says, Afanan namitznino. We have that beferish in the Mishnah, that the Chachamim argue on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and do not allow a Cherish to give a tzivu through written Ksav. Because it says, Nishtes, if a woman becomes a shota, lo yotzi, you can no longer divorce her. Nischarish tu o nishtata, if the husband becomes a cherish or shota, lo yotzi lamas, he can't divorce her forever. Ma'o lamas, what does it mean? He can never divorce her. Lav afagav diyachol dam b'tochek sab, doesn't that imply he can never divorce her even though he still retains the ability to communicate through writing? So this Mishnah, we see, he says, Abaye, that it's beferish that the Chachamim argue, ah, and Rabban Shimon Gamliel. So Amar Papa says no. It's not so pashut. Ilav Dashma'inan Rabbi Yochanan, had Rabbi Yochanan not told me that the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, half a minute I could have said, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Frushe Taima Tanakamu Da'asa. Maybe the Taka agreed to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He's explaining their Shita that if the Cherish had once been healthy and is now a Cherish but retains the ability to communicate in writing, he could divorce his wife. But if that's the shot that everyone agrees to that, my alumnus, what then does that Mishnah mean that we just quoted when it says that if the guy becomes a Cherish, he can never divorce her? So what we're suggesting now is that I could have interpreted that to mean not that he can't divorce her even if he could communicate through writing, but I could have interpreted that to mean afagav dechazina ledecharef, that if he can't communicate in writing, he cannot divorce his wife, no matter how present he seems to be. In other words, I could have argued, if not for Rabbi Yochanan, that the Chachamim agreed to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that if a pekeach becomes a cherish and he retains the ability to communicate in writing, he could divorce his wife. When that Mishnah says that we just quoted Loyosi Alamis, it means if he can't communicate in writing, then he can never divorce her, no matter how sharp he still seems to be. So therefore, or perhaps Inami, or maybe what the Mishnah meant to say is L'chid Yitzchak, like Yitzchak says, Yitzchak, Dvar Torah Shota Misgareshes Min HaTorah, a woman who's a Shota could be divorced. Mida Dahava Pikachas Balkochem, because she's no different than a Pikachas, a healthy woman who's divorced whether she likes it or not. Umatam Amra Ena Misgareshes, so why is it she cannot be divorced on a Drabban level? Shlo Yinagum Amelik Hefker, because Chazal were afraid that if she's divorced, people will take advantage of her. Maybe that's what the bright Mishnah meant when it said that he may never divorce her Olamis. but it could be that I would have said that if the Cheresh, who had once been a Pekeach, still retains the ability to communicate in writing, I might have thought that everyone agrees that it could be done. That's Rabbi Yochanan's Chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan's Chiddush is that no. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that a Pekeach, ben Eschairish, the Yochal, the Dabra Mitoch Eksav, can divorce his wife. But the Chachamim argue, Chachamim say no. If he's a Cheresh currently, even though he still can communicate through Ksav, he can't divorce his wife. Next, Mishnah. Amru lo, nichtov get le'ishtecha. If they said to someone, shall we write a get for your wife? The Amru lo, ksuvu, he says, write it. They then tell a sofer to write it, and they tell Adam to sign it. Even though it was written and signed, they gave it back to him. He then gives it to her. So the husband gives the get to his wife. Hare get bottle. No good. Until he himself tells the sofer to write it and tells the Adam to sign it. So even though he has the get in his hand, he gives it himself. He clearly wants to give it to her. The fact that he did not tell the sofer directly to write it, and he didn't tell the Adam to sign it, he rather told other people, write a get for my wife. And they told the sofer, and they told the Adam, that disqualifies the get. So the Gemara as follows. Taima d'lar matzenu. It seems that the reason why the get is not valid in this Mishnah is because he didn't say, give the get to my wife. He said, write the get for my wife. So saying, write the get for my wife implies you write it. It implies you sign it. I don't want to make a public affair out of this. But if he said, give the get to my wife, meaning if instead of saying, write it, he said, give it, sounds like from the Mishnah, no sin. If they would be allowed to instruct a sofer to write it, instruct Adam to sign it, and then have the get given to the wife. That's the Gemara's diyuk from the beginning of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Mani, who does that follow? Reb Meir, the Amar Mili, Mimsun L'Shliach. That's true, though, only according to Meir, who says that when you tell three people, give a get to my wife, you're authorizing them to instruct others to write it, to instruct others to sign it. And you have no concerns about verbal instructions being transmitted to someone else. In other words, you can make someone a shliach devarim.
The Mishnah starts out with Imrullah. They said to him, do you want us to write?
Right.
They're initiating. This has no
true
bearing whatsoever.
Nope.
Nothing.
Right. Correct.
So
right.
That's the Chiddush.
Okay, the Gemara continues, however. The Gemara says, Amos Eifel. Look at the last part of the Mishnah, where it says, Ad Shiomar, the Sofer, Ksov, L'Edim, Chasumu. Last part of the Mishnah says, the Baal must tell the Sofer to write it. The Baal must tell the Edim sign it. Asn L'Biosi, that sounds like a Biosi. The Amar Mili, Lomim Sin L'Shliach, who says that you can't appoint someone to be a Shliach to give your instructions to someone else. You can't do that. You can't serve as a Shliach to convey instructions. That's a Biosi. Asks the Gemara, Reisha, Reb Meir, Besefer, Reb Yossi, does that make sense? The first half of the Mishnah is Reb Meir, who says that if you tell three people to nuget l'ishti, you could appoint them to be your shliach to instruct others to write and sign. Second part of the Mishnah is Reb Yossi, who says, Mili, lo, memsun l'shliach, you cannot appoint others to serve as a shliach to convey your verbal instructions to someone else? The Gemara answers it in yes, that's correct. Reish of Meir, Sefer Rabbi Yossi. Period. That's the way it works. The Reish of the Mishnah is a Meir, Sefer of the Mishnah is a Yossi. Abaya Amabaya says, no, Kulav Merhi. Maybe the whole Mishnah follows a Meir, who says merely, Mimsin l'shliach. The Halacha Maskin is why in the end of the Mishnah, does the Mishnah say, you must tell this sofer to write directly? Answers Abaye. Halacha Maskinan, the law of Tanu. Sefer of Mishnah is where you didn't say the magical word Tanu. If you don't say Tanu, even a Meir agrees you didn't authorize them to transmit the instructions to someone else. So why does the Mishnah say it's only valid if he tells the sofer to write it and tells the Aim to sign it? According to Abaye, according to Meir, the Mishnah should have said it's only valid when he says Tanu. Because Tanu means you have authorization to transmit my instructions to someone else. So why does the Mishnah not say that that would be kosher? The last case in the Mishnah is a case where he was talking to two people, not three. And even if Meir agrees that if you say to two people, Tanu, they don't have authorization to transmit instructions to someone else. But Meir only says if you tell three people, Tanu.
Because that's a Beis
Din. Yes, then they're a Beis Din who are authorized to tell someone else to write and get and sign the get. That's the pshat in the safe of the Mishnah here. So the Gemara asks, that's the problem. Ad, Shiyomar, Lishloshim of Baile. So then why doesn't the Mishnah say it would only be kosher if you say Tanu to three people? Ella, it must be right. We reject Abaye's pshat. It must be the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, who says you cannot transmit verbal instructions. So if so, in the Reisha, why does it sound like the problem is that you said Kisvu, but had you said Tanu, it would be okay? According to Rabbi Yossi, no matter what you say, it's not okay. The reason why in the Reisha of the Mishnah it would not be good is because you didn't say tell the sofer to write it. He didn't say tell the Adam to sign it. So when the Mishnah, the Reisha of the Mishnah says that you told Adam write it, the Mishnah doesn't mean to say that had you told the Adam give it, that it would be okay. Rather, the Mishnah meant to say that if you tell Adam write it, it's no good because you didn't say tell the sofer to write it. Tell the Adam to write it. The diak of the Mishnah in the Reisha we're now suggesting is, according to Biosi, that the get is possible when you say to Adam, write a get for my wife, because you didn't tell the Adam to tell the sofer to write it. You didn't tell the Adam to tell those two guys to sign it. But had you told the people, Omer Imru, so to speak, had you told the Adam, tell the sofer to write it, tell the Adam to sign it, that would have been a good according to Biosi, because Omer Imru, Biosi concedes is valid. Asks the Gemara, Ihochi ad Shiomer Imra Boilei. So the Reisha of the Mishnah should have said that the get is kosher if you were to tell the two people, tell the sofer to write it, tell the Adam to sign it. But furthermore, Mimod Rabbi Yossi Ba'am Imru, is it so pasha that Rabbi Yossi agrees that although Mili lo mimsun l'shliach, but if you specifically say, tell the sofer, tell the Adam, that would be valid? That's not true. Rabbi Yossi does not allow that. After all, the Hatan of the Mishnah says, Ksav sofer ve'ed kosher. The Mishnah says the get is written by the sofer and signed by one aid is kosher. The Amrabi Yirmiyah says that's not what it means. What it means is chasam sofer sheninu. What the Mishnah means is if the sofer signed it and another aid signed it, it's kosher. Amrav Chissa says mastis mani. Why does the Mishnah allow a sofer to sign the get? Why are we not worried that maybe the Baal never intended for the sofer to sign it and the aidim told the sofer to sign it? So Rav Chista explains, top of the Amud, Rav Yossi, because our Mishnah follows Rav Yossi, the Amar who says, Mili lo mimsun l'shliach, that you can never give verbal instructions to someone to transmit to somebody else. And therefore, if the sofer signs the get, it's not because the Adam told him, oh, the Baal said you should sign it. It's because the Baal told him directly, you should sign it. So the Gemara asks, the Yisrael Kedaitach, Mod Rav Yossi Bar Memru, if it were true that Rav Yossi would allow the Baal to tell Adam, tell the sofer to write it, tell the Adam to sign it, then why would Rabbi Yossi be machsher a get which has the Adam signed on it? Nothing min achurvi might cause problems. The zimnin, sometimes what might happen is the following. To amr lehu l'shnayim, someone might tell to Adam, imr le sofer v'yichtov, tell the sofer to write it, v'leploni ploni v'yachtemu, tell these Adam to sign it. Umishum kisufa de sofer, and because of concerns of embarrassing the sofer, chayshi the eden might get worried, or machtemile, they might tell the sofer, or you were told to sign it. Ubalo amrachin, the Baal never really said that. The fact that we're not worried about that possibility means or proves that Rabbi Yossi would never allow the Baal to tell the Edom to tell the sofer to sign it or to write it. Rabbi Yossi holds that Omer is not valid. Rabbi Yossi holds that if the sofer signs it, it's because he heard from the Baal directly that you should sign it. That's why he says Chasam sofer of an Ed is kosher. Bottom line is, what we're saying is that Rabbi Yossi does not allow the Baal to tell Edom, tell so-and-so to write it, tell so-and-so to sign it. So that can't be the reason why in the Mishnah, Kisvigel Ishti is possible, because he never said Omer Imru. Even if he did say Omer Imru, it would still be possible. Ela rather machvarta, the correct pshat is, Reisha of Meir, the Sefer of Yossi. So at this point, resigns to taking the first approach, which is, our Mishnah is half and half. First half is Reb Meir, who says Mili Lo, who says Mili Mimshin L'Shliach. Second half is Reb Yossi, who says Mili Lo Mimshin L'Shliach. Rav Ashi says, Kula Reb Yossi, I can interpret the Mishnah entirely according to Reb Yossi. The Lo Mibayah Ka'amar, read the Mishnah as if it is saying a Lo Mibayah, meaning, Lo Mibayah Hechad Lo Amar Tanu, of course if you don't say Tanu, you say Kis V'get L'Yishti, and the Edom tell others to write it and sign it, it's possible. Elafi Lo Amar Tanu, but the truth is, even if you had told the Edom Tanu Get L'Yishti, it would not be a valid get, because Rabbi Yossi holds, Mili lo mimshin l'shliach. Furthermore, v'lo mibaya hechad lo amar lebeit lasa. And certainly, if you said tenu to two people, it's possible if they tell others to write it and sign it. Elafi lo amar lebeit lasa, lo. But even if you tell three people tenu, according to Rabbi Yossi, Mili lo mimshin l'shliach, they can't instruct others to write it and sign it. And certainly if he didn't tell them, tell others. They just did on their own. It's possible. But the Chiddush of the Mishnah says, Rav Ashi, is that even if you go to three people, and even if you say Tanu, and even if you say tell this guy to write and this guy to sign it, still not good according to Biosi. That's Pshat in the Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Tanaka was Rav Ashi, I have a right to Rav Ashi in the Braisa, that when you tell people to tell other people to write or sign it, Rabbi Yossi says it's no good. Why? Because the Braisa says, Kasav sofer lishma, v'chasmu edim lishma. The sofer writes it lishma, the edim sign it lishma. Sounds great. Says the Braisa, afapisha kasvu v'chasmu v'esnulo v'nasnulo. Even though you wrote it, signed it, gave it to him, he gave it to her, how we get batal? No good. Ad sheyishmu kolo. They have to hear his voice. Shiyomu the sofer ksov, he tells the sofer write it. Uleidim kasumu, he tells the edim sign it. Yishmu implies lafukim mandar ma'mod of Yosef v'ami emru. Yishmu means we don't allow the Baal to tell the edim, tell these guys to sign it, tell these guys to write it. No, you who sign it and you who write it must hear directly from the Baal himself. And finally, kolo, hear his voice, lafukim mandar of kahana marav. This Braisa holds against Rav. Rav said that if a guy was a Chayrish, who retains the ability to communicate through Ksav, he can give instructions in writing to write to get to his wife. This Braisa holds no. You don't allow a Chayrish to communicate through Ksav. It has to be verbal communication, and that is that.
How is all this conversation? To Stam Mishnah, it's like Reb Meir. How is Reb Yossi getting
it? Stam Mishnah is like a Meir, unless you have reason to indicate otherwise. So here we have a Mishnah which clearly indicates that Mili Lo Mimshin L'Shliach. So you can't say it's a Meir. In other words, yes, not Mishnah Meir, but you could. Okay, moving on to the next Mishnah. Just trying to get a little bit ahead of ourselves so we can try to make up on Friday for the last Mishnah of the day. Mishnah says, Zeh Gitech Emesi. A guy tells his wife, here is your get if I die. Or he says to her, Zeh Gitech Mecholi Zeh. This is your get if I die from this illness. Or Zeh Giteich Lachamisa. This is your get after death. In each of these three cases, L'amaklum, the get is meaningless. Why? Because saying, this is your get if I die, saying this is your get after this illness, which implies that if he dies from the illness, the get is valid, or saying this is your get after I die explicitly, doesn't work. You can't give a get to take effect after you die. once the guy dies, you can't any longer have a get take effect. But if you say mehayom emesi, if you say this is your get as of today, if I die, or if you say me'achshav emesi, this is your get as of now, if I die, in those two cases, how is a get? That is a valid get, because there the get was effective as of that moment of nesina, provided he later on ultimately died. So to say the get takes effect retroactively while I'm still alive, that works. What happens, says the Mishnah, mehayom ulachamisa? If you say the get is effective as of today and after I die, well, then you're giving two conflicting impressions. Is it effective today? Is it effective after I die? Get ve'eno get. That's a suffix if that's a valid get. And therefore, ve'emes, and if the husband subsequently dies with no children, choletzes v'lo misabemes, she must do chalitza, she may not do yibum. Rashi explains there's a suffix here. When you say mehayom ulachamisa, is that making a tenai that the get is effective as of today, assuming I die? Or is that saying no? It's effective today. Oh, no, no, you know what? No. It's effective achamisa. You retracted. Which one is it? If it's a retraction, you can't have a get take effect after misa. It doesn't work. If it's a tenai, it's effective today. If I die, that works. So it's a suffix, memela, choletzes, v'lo mesedemes. Finally, the Mishnah says, Zegitif mehayom imesi mecholizeh. The guy says, this is your get as of today if I die from this illness. Okay, should be good. But what happens? The Amad Bahalach B'shuk. He seems to recover. He's out and about. And then B'chalameis. Then he gets ill again and dies. So the shaila is, the get, he said, was only effective if I died from this illness. Now that he recovered and then died from an illness, what happens then? Omdinaso. So you make your best assessment. In Machmas Choli Harishon Meis, if the death was because of the first illness, or is the get is valid. In Lav, and if the death was not related to the first illness, then the get is not valid. Says the Gemara, Almi, see from the Mishnah, in Mesi Kalacha Misadami. You see from the Mishnah, the Mishnah said, if a guy tells his wife, this is your get if I die, no good. That implies that saying if I die is like saying it takes effect after my death. And yet, Bahadatani, then later the Mishnah says, Mehayom imesi, me'achshav imesi, it's effective today or now if I die. Alma imesi, lav kalacha misadami. That implies that that imesi does not mean after death, it means right now. Alma Abaye says, na akasha. Imesi, shtei lashonos mashma. It really has a dual implication. Mashma kame'achshav, it's a mashma either that it takes effect now, umashma kalacha miso. And it's also a mashma that it takes effect after I die. So it depends on the context. If you specify as of today, that's like saying now. And it's a valid get. If you don't say mehayom, just say, it's like saying it takes effect after death, and that does not work. Okay, conclude here, and we begin again on Friday morning. Ezras Hashem. Good day to all. Easy fast to everyone. Take care. Take care, everyone.